weed whacker, and the half-filled gasoline can with a rag stuck in the hole because you lost the nozzle, and a smattering of grimy and long-forgotten toys. Now, run. Run right into the door. Run as hard as you can. Get up. You okay? Who cares if you're not? Go back and do it again. Do it again, and again, and again. After you've done it 50 times or so, you will feel like an NFL player feels after a game. Now, do it every Sunday, plus maybe a Thursday or a Monday or a Saturday instead, for the next 18 weeks. Don't worry. You'll get one of those weeks off to rest, until you get to keep doing it some more. And if you do it really well, you'll get to do it even more, another 3 or 4 weekends. Do that from September through January, and you'll begin to understand life in the NFL. We become conditioned over the years to think it's glitz and it's glamour and it's riches and it's luxury and it's whatever else is good and enviable to play in the NFL. It's not. It's pain and it's agony and it's surgeries and it's pressure and it's stress and it's everyone you know wanting some of what you have. And it's a far cry from the fun, thrilling life that a resentful nation of fans believes it to be. Now, go back to your driveway. And before you run full speed into the garage door, pretend that you're doing it in front of 65,000 people. Half the time, when you're on the home team, they'll love you, unless they think you suck. The other half the time, when you're on the road team, they'll hate you with a flaming passion, especially if they know you don't suck. With millions more watching at home. With people who have get-rich-quick cash riding on the outcome of the game. With tens of thousands who own you in fantasy football, needing you to score a touchdown or three. With an unlimited number of assholes on social media who will hurl insults at you, your wife, your mother, your kids. Who will threaten to kill you, or them, if you fail to perform in a way that advances their financial interests, their rooting interests, or both. Welcome to the real life of an NFL player. Welcome to the pain, the stress, the heartache. Welcome to the hours spent trying to mend a broken body to the point that it can keep running into that garage door. Welcome to the challenges of realizing your peak earning potential well before your 25th birthday, and the demands from family and friends who believe that the fountain of cash will last forever, or at least a lot longer than it actually will. Welcome to life as a candle that burns quickly and has an unknown supply of wax. 1 year, 2 years, 3, 4, 5, maybe. And only a handful can stretch it out much longer than that. And every year, there's a new crop of players, younger, cheaper, healthier, fresher. They're coming to take what's yours. Eventually, one of them will. Until that happens, you get to worry about the inevitability of it. Along the way, everyone is watching everything you do. The reward for success is a life led in public, with constant requests for photos and autographs and tickets and phone calls. It sounds great at first, but it gets old quickly, very quickly. There's a story that has made the rounds for years in league circles that a female fan once approached Hall of Fame defensive tackle Warren Sapp while he was eating dinner and said, "I hate to bother you, but can I get your autograph?" Sapp pushed his chair back, as the legend goes, glared at the woman, and pointed at his meal. "Do you see any peas on my plate?" Sapp said. The woman, confused by the question, looked at the plate. "No," she said. "Do you know why there's no peas on my plate?" Sapp said. "I don't know," she replied. "Because I hate peas," Sapp exclaimed. "So if you hate to bother me, why are you bothering me?" And that's just a sliver of life as an NFL player. For nearly every player who makes it there, it's the realization of a lifelong dream. That dream, in many ways,